Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope you all had a great week, and I have some good plans for the weekend. I appreciate all of you tuning in to our weekend show, and as always, you can email me at any time, fleck@kereport.com. You can also email shad@kereport.com with any questions for any of our guests, and especially any thoughts you have on the companies that we have featured throughout the week. I am kicking off this show with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Mark and I are going to look more broadly at currencies, markets, and even the bond market. And in the second half of this first hour, we're going to shift our focus more to the precious metals. Now, Mark, let's start off with currencies, because you are really our in-house currency expert here. I chat with you pretty much every week, and the currency markets, with how large they are, can give us a nice barometer of where money is shifting and what investors are focused on. Let's start at the very high level here, Mark. What's strong in terms of currencies? What's weak? What do people have an eye on?
Yeah, I think that the most important thing to watch this week, and the week ahead really, is the dollar, which has been selling off in April and in May, has also began June on soft footing, but last week it snapped back. And the snapback of the dollar, that short squeeze, lifting it into the weekend, took up basically is at new highs for the week, but also is taking place as U.S. interest rates remain very low. Our 10-year yield fell about 12 basis points this past week, which is the most in about a year's time. And we got down to the low end of 140, like 141, 142 yield on the 10-year, and still the dollar rallied. And so I think I'd be careful of that there could be. It's always hard to know what happens, to project what happens on Friday as if it's necessarily a trend change. But the technical indicators, momentum indicators I look at, like MACD, slow stochastic, had all been warning of the risk to the upside to the dollar. But the sideways movement had seemed to alleviate some of the extreme overextended condition of the momentum indicators. But ahead of the FOMC meeting next week, we could see a further dollar gains.
So, Mark, looking at this dollar chart, and let's focus on the U.S. dollar when it comes to the dollar index. Look, the dollar was on a nice rebound, I guess we can call it, for the first really 3 months of 2021, and then 2 months dropped right back down. However, the recent rebound here has come at a slightly higher level. The low at the very beginning of the year, 89.17. The most recent low about 2 to 3 weeks ago, 89.51. If this level holds, is that enough to signify a change in direction? Maybe the weakness in this downtrend really ever since the spike when COVID first hit the U.S., do you think that downtrend could be over?
I think that there's always a chance. I've learned my lesson the hard way in the foreign exchange market to think that something could not take place. But on the other hand, for me, the key is what's the driver. And I still think that in order, given the size of the U.S. trade and budget deficits, it needs higher interest rates. And if it doesn't get the higher interest rates, then the dollar's got to bear more of the burden. So I think that this is a technical upswing, a technical correction of the dollar. But I'm not convinced that as your point was, I think that it's not like the dollar correction just began today or last week. The dollar index made its low in very late May and has been gently, ever so gently rising. I think we need to get above 91 or so to be anything of note. And even then, it just sets us up for a test on the 91.50 area, which houses the 200-day moving average and is about the halfway point of the dollar's decline in April and May.
Now, does this weakness in the dollar, and let's call it broad weakness, how much does it have to do with the fact that the Fed seems pretty hardcore to not taper in the near term when we're seeing other central banks start to taper even in the face of some better economic data? Is the Fed the main contributor here to the weak dollar?
Yeah, that's interesting. So it matters how you view it, I think. Is the Fed keeping rates down? And a year ago, I would have thought the Fed stood away from the market. Interest rates would have fallen further because without that monetary support, the economic downturn from the COVID could have lasted longer, could have been deeper. But now I kind of suspect that maybe if the Fed were to taper, interest rates would rise, thinking that that's a confidence in the economy, confidence that they're moving closer to their targets. So I do think that the Fed's important, but it's not the only thing in town. You know, the market, many people had also expected that given these inflation readings, interest rates would be higher. And so there are a lot of bearers who were short the treasuries, even though in the futures market, the net position was net long treasuries. There was still a substantial short position, and there is some sign of the shorts having covered, being squeezed out. But also, we've had some very strong auctions in the last couple of weeks, suggesting that there is a strong demand for the new treasury issues, even so it's not just the short covering, but there's actually new longs being established, new buying coming into the market. And so I think that's all helped keep interest rates low. I think also a lot of people looking at the inflation numbers, look at the we know not to just look at the headline, but to dig deeper a little bit. And what we find is that autos, used autos in particular, because of the shortage of semiconductor chips, people are buying used cars, and there's a scramble for them, shooting prices higher. This alone contributed to about a third of the overall increase in U.S. CPI. Other things from a year ago, you know, were so cheap, like airlines, hotels. And as the economy reopens, these prices are normalizing. And as they normalize, it looks like we have higher inflation. So people are really discounting this, thinking that maybe the Fed is right. Maybe the guys like Lawrence Summers and other smart economists who have been worried about inflation maybe overstate the case. And so maybe the market's coming around to a view that inflation might in fact be transitory. And when I look at some inflation gauges, like in the market, not surveys, but market, like what's pricing in the market, we look at things like the 10-year break-even, the difference between the inflation-protected security and the traditional conventional bond, and that peaked 6 weeks ago. Not too far, about 260 basis points or so. And the same thing with the five-year forward, which is you take a 10-year bond, you take the last 5 years of it, you do a forward on that. And that also is telling us that inflation expectations still remain quite modest, above 2% for sure, but not a breakaway where there's some kind of like return to the 1970s kind of sense in the market.
So, Mark, what does this mean for markets and those trying to take a big picture view of the market? It sounds like you are in the camp that says this inflation could very much be transitory, and we're even seeing market participants bet on that as well. So does that mean that market – well, where does that leave markets? Let me ask you that.
So, yeah, so I do think that there's so much liquidity out there still that still is rewarding risk appetites. On the other hand, I think that there are at what cost does this come about reflating the economy? And I think that there could be some financial excesses. You know, we're seeing this in the sense that the Federal Reserve, you know, is still buying $40 billion of agency mortgage-backed securities every month. And like in Canada, Australia, the U.K., New Zealand, some other countries, house prices are taking off, rising at double-digit levels. And so I think that's a concern. I think that it seems to me that the risk is that we're at a late stage here of a lot of stimulus in the system,
All right, Mark, I have to cut you off here because we are out of time for the radio, but I'm bringing you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. Mark and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Your weekly
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I am continuing to chat with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Now, Mark, I want just a general... Now, Mark, I want to address the general theme or trend that we've seen in markets right now, and that is boring, quite frankly. Volatility is down. Daily moves are lower, and it just seems like less people are that active in the market. Now, it could be the summer doldrums or the sell in May and go away. Quite frankly, stuff in the U.S. sounds really open, so maybe people are on vacation, getting away from it all. What are you seeing, Mark? You're based in New York. You talk to a lot of large institutions. What are you seeing in terms of the general boring nature of these markets recently?
It could be. I mean, people have other things, like people returning back to work, summer vacations. And I think that that's an interesting chart I've seen, is how the volume month after month has been slowing down compared to 2020 and even 2019, as if people are going back to work and don't have time to do all this day trading and whatnot. I think that also, frankly, the market seemed much harder than last year. Last year, we had to get our heads around the idea of a weak economy, strong stock market. But this year, stock markets seem relatively strong, but it's been a rotation. And so the economies are strong, but the stocks aren't doing what people have expected them to do, I think.
So what does that mean? Where does this leave us? Are markets going to get in that complacent nature again? The VIX is down in the mid-teens.
The VIX is down. We've got the dollar-yen volatility is low. I think that there's a lot of things. So I think that this is the kind of time for myself, my own personal account, is making sure I have cash on the sidelines. Now, it's not the cash on the sidelines. It's not wasting. It's really a dry gunpowder for a pullback, which I think that, you know, we've seen some like little hiccups, and I just want to take advantage of the next hiccup.
So, Mark, if we start to look ahead here, we can look at all the economic data we want, and quite frankly, we've gotten a lot of inflation data. A lot of people pointed to that as potentially a key driver for the markets and jobs data. But overall, it doesn't seem like any of this data has really had a major impact, maybe a very short-term impact. But even those day-to-day swings when that data is released, they seem to be smaller currently. Does that mean that as much as we want to analyze data, it doesn't really matter what the data is right now? It's more about what central banks are doing?
Yeah, in some ways, I think you're right. I mean, that the data doesn't matter until it does. And in the meantime, I think that the signals that we're getting, and especially I think that it's not necessarily on a day-to-day that tight of a correlation, but it does seem that low interest rates help equities, help underpin risk assets. And so it does seem to me that central banks are the key focus, and that's why the FOMC meeting next week is really the key, because if they, in their comments, if they begin preparing the market for tapering, I think maybe we see a more of a summer correction.
Do you think the Fed is going to start to say anything about winding back some of their easy monetary policies? We've seen it in other central banks, but I don't know. The Fed still is not really giving us too much of a hint that they're going to start tapering.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that what the Fed will do is they'll say we may begin talking about it. Like they've already said, we'll talk about it in upcoming meetings. The market does not expect it to take place then, a formal announcement of tapering, until either the August Jackson Hole conference or the September FOMC meeting. So what this means is that the Fed will begin tapering sometime in Q4. The irony about this, I think, strikes me, especially in today, ahead of the weekend, a couple of days after the ECB met, they say they are going to finish their bond buying, their emergency bond buying program ends next March. It's possible that the Federal Reserve is still tapering by the time the ECB, the European Central Bank, ends their bond buying.
So what does that mean? What's the carryover going to be for the Fed, forcing the Fed's hands and for markets?
Yeah, I think it forces the market's hand, because if the Fed is still tapering, I think this is just, for me, part of the big dollar negative story, the bear market for the dollar. And I think that what that means, I think, for dollar-based investors, it means to to think about, maybe for the first time in a few years, diversifying to other markets. And even in Canada, I think that the trick there for Canadian investors, Canadian dollar investors, is that when the U.S. dollar is weak, the Canadian dollar typically underperforms against Europe. And so it might make sense for Canadian dollar investors to also look to diversify into European or perhaps Japanese markets.
Okay, so that brings us full circle then. Dollar weakness here. If this little rebound in the dollar is nothing more than maybe even a dead cat bounce, and we do continue to see some broad dollar weakness, how does that carry over to commodities? Is that just more ammo for that whole commodity bull market or even super cycle argument?
Yeah, I mean, there's a case to be made that a weaker dollar favors higher commodity prices, partly because, you know, you're a producer of these commodities, you get dollars for them, and those dollars just don't buy you as much as it would otherwise, and so tends to lift commodity prices. I think that from say, a policymaker's point of view, you have two sources, right, supply and demand. The demand issue, helped fueled by the reopening of the economy, fiscal stimulus, that is of a fixed nature. Whether it lasts, I mean, if you look at countries' GDP forecasts and the World Bank just updated theirs, see how next year is still going to be a strong year, 2022. But by the time we, the second half of 2022, early 2023, we're going to be back to the type of growth levels that are more normal for the high-income economies. So that means that the demand is going to cool off. And at the same time, the supply already is seeing different industry respond to the shortage of supply, whether it's semiconductor chips, whether it's lumber, whether it's metals. It seems to me that countries and companies are responding to fill in, you know, to see that profit opportunity and provide that supply. So supply seems to be a short-run problem, while the fiscal stimulus, as it runs off, makes it so that demand might be a temporary issue as well. Isn't that the worst possible case? There's more supply coming in the market just at that same moment in time where demand begins normalizing, going back down to 2019 levels.
Okay. Well, Mark, we're out of time here, so we are going to wrap it up. But great chatting with you. Thanks for taking these kind of more broad questions on currencies and general market drivers. Still seems like we are subject to what central banks are going to do, but I think focusing on the U.S. dollar and seeing if it truly did put in a bottom just below that 90 level, or if it's nothing more than a short-term bounce and we continue to head lower, that's a major consideration. Mark, thanks as always for your time. Mark also writes the Mark to Market blog, which I highly recommend checking out on a daily basis, where he breaks down individual data and key market moves. So Mark, as always, I appreciate your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
U.S. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Two mass shootings in the U.S. in recent hours. At least 13 hurt in a shooting Saturday morning in downtown Austin, Texas. Two victims in critical condition. Nine people hurt in a shooting Friday night in Savannah, Georgia. One person killed, a 2-year-old and a 13-year-old among those hurt. They're expected to survive. No arrests announced in either shooting. New voting laws across the country will be reviewed by the Justice Department. Attorney General Merrick Garland promising Friday to beef up its enforcement of laws meant to prevent discrimination.
We will use all existing provisions of the Voting Rights Act, the National Voter Registration Act, the Help America Vote Act, and the Uniform and Overseas Citizens Absentee Voting Act to ensure that we protect every qualified American seeking to participate in our democracy.
Garland says the number of employees in the DOJ's Civil Rights Division will double in the next 30 days. This is USA Radio News. The return of the cruise industry hitting a snag. Two passengers in Royal Caribbean's The Celebrity Millennium test positive for COVID this week. The guests now in isolation and being monitored. All adult guests were required to be vaccinated before boarding. This is the first major cruise line allowing Americans, provided they were fully vaccinated. They also had to have a negative COVID test within 72 hours of departure last weekend. Vladimir Putin calls former President Trump extraordinary, talented, and colorful. In a recent interview with NBC News through an interpreter, he shared his thoughts on President Biden.
President Biden, of course, is radically different from Trump because President Biden is a career man. He has spent virtually his entire adulthood in politics. Just think of the number of years he spent in the Senate. A different kind of person.
The full interview will air Monday. Democrats want answers from some former Trump officials. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer wants former Attorney Generals William Barr and Jeff Sessions to testify before the Judiciary Committee. This comes after a New York Times report this week that Trump's Justice Department seized communications data of two Democratic lawmakers. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are going to focus a lot more in these next two segments on the resource sector, especially the precious metals, as I am chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, it's no denying that the precious metals market has drastically slowed. This week especially, minus the sell-off of gold at the tail end of the week, but still, not even a big move when you consider just how slow this whole week has been. And even going back really throughout the month of June here, gold seems to have flatlined right around that 1900, and silver seems stuck right around that $28 level. It really brings up the thought to a lot of the seasoned precious metals investors of seasonality. Now, I know a lot of technicians hate to talk about seasonality, but there is no denying that typically over summer, in a normal summer, the market slows broadly, and that carries over into the precious metals. Jeff, I have to ask you, do you think, because things have really started to open up in the U.S., even Canada's moving towards a reopening, do you think that seasonality or the summer doldrums are here early and they could be here for a while?
It's undeniable that there's seasonality. You could argue about the causes of seasonality and the permanence of it, and it does vary from year to year. And you do have years, for example, the last 2 years, you've seen strength in gold and silver prices in July, which is unusual on a historical basis. But, over the last 2 years, you've seen prices rise, primarily for gold, and silver's come along, primarily for the ride with gold, in July into early August. And that has to do with the August COMEX gold contract, and it's overridden seasonality. What we always say is, zero. You can, seasonality exists. You can do the math. You can see the seasonality. You can see that prices tend to be weaker in the second and third quarters, after a stronger first quarter, you know, and then you can argue about why that is, you know. But what we always say at CPM Group is that, you know, actual event-driven price activity trumps, excuse that verb, overrides seasonality. So there's a seasonality there, and you can say, okay, you know, that means that the prices should be weaker June, July, August, you know, sell in May and go away. And there are reasons, you know, factories shut down, they go on rolling vacations, auto industry retools, people go on vacation. There are reasons why fabrication demand tends to be slower. There are reasons why investment demand tends to be slower. People go away on vacation and they sit in the mountains or at the beach and they think about what's happened in the first half of the year and what they're going to do when they go back to work in September. You know, so that all factors in there. But what's overridden gold and silver this year, it's funny because, yeah, a lot of the bugs say, oh, my God, gold is so low, it's stuck below 90, it's stuck around $1,900. We're saying, no, you know, we think gold is strong. We had thought that, you know, gold's been trading in, say, 1860, 1920 range over the last 2 or 3 weeks. We had thought 6 months ago that the price would probably be in the 1760, 1820 range at this time. So we're about $100 higher than we thought we would be, and that reflects the fact that the it reflects several things, but one of the things it reflects is that the realities of 2021, especially the opening up of economies and stepping away from the lockdown, and people are going out and eating out again, and traveling, and taking vacations, and having dinner parties, you know. The recovery from 2020 has overridden the seasonality. And it's overridden, and so, you know, as I said, you know, gold prices are probably $100 higher than you would have thought they would have been if you were just looking at the seasonality.
So, Jeff, let's talk about some of the main drivers behind the gold price now, because in all fairness, look, you are right, but you're not alone in the fact that you thought gold would be a little bit weaker heading into summer. 1900 for gold is still a very strong level. After an 8-month correction, gold has bounced back fairly strongly, especially over May and most of June. What are the driving factors here? Is it inflation and the higher inflation data that we have been seeing?
Well, I think that investor expectations of inflation have been causing investors to buy some gold and silver. But I think that other economic and macroeconomic factors have been much more important. Specifically, you know, we did see weakness in the dollar. And it wasn't so much that the dollar was declining. And, you know, in recent days, it's actually shown some strength. But it was investor expectations the dollar would decline, which was causing them to move money out of dollar-based assets into gold. And then interest rates. You had an interest rate scare, if you will, where interest rates rose in the first quarter. But since that time, they've come back down. And, you know, they rose from 1 to 1.74%. And now they're like, yesterday it was 1.46 for the 10-year Treasury bonds. You know, so you're seeing low interest rates on a nominal basis. You're seeing negative interest rates on a real basis. You're seeing enormous monetary and fiscal stimuli, which are kind of causing some of those inflation concerns, but they're also flooding the world with money and where you're going to put that money, because another factor is a very strong stock market. You know, and people who have made a tremendous amount of money in the stock market are increasingly worried. They have very high P.E. ratios, regardless of which metric you look at. The stock market overall is wildly overvalued, and there are a lot of people who are very nervous. So you've got money coming out of the stock market moving into gold and silver. You've got money coming out of interest-bearing assets moving into gold and silver. And I think that those factors, inflation is in there in the mix of things that are causing people to do that. But I think that the race for returns and the search for returns is actually something that's probably more important in a lot of investors' minds than inflation.
So, Jeff, touching on your comment about the U.S. equity markets, they are still pretty much at all-time highs, though. So what is this rotation you speak of out of the markets into the metals?
It's very tenuous, you know. It's very tenuous, but you are seeing it. And you can't, you know, the reality is that you've got a $100 trillion equity market, $50 trillion of that is in the U.S. equity market. And the gold market's probably like, what, $3 trillion or something? So you can't move en masse out of stocks into gold, but you can move some. So I think that's there. But, you know, you've got a very nervous people. But, you know, I tell the story, in 2015, the Shanghai stock market, in 2012, you know, 2011, 2012, into early 2013, Chinese investors were buying tremendous amounts of gold. And then they shifted and they started buying Chinese stocks. And the Shanghai stock index went parabolic in early 2015. And I was saying to our clients, I said, you know, you guys have gotten out of gold. Maybe you should take some profits in a parabolic Shanghai stock market and move them into gold. And the universal view was, no, we're Chinese, and we're going to stay in until somebody yells fire. Yeah, because we all think that we can be the first one out the door. And no one's going to leave this party until someone yells fire. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, they said they're Chinese. I didn't say that. The reality is that American investors and investors around the world who invest in the U.S. market are doing the same thing. They all look at it, you know, it's the reverse of Catskill food. It's like, you know, gosh, the stock market looks grossly overvalued. I ought to be worried, but I'm not leaving because I've been saying that for 5 years now, that the stock market, actually more like 10 or 11 years, since, you know, the stock market's been moving up steadily in a lockstep way, really since 2010. And, you know, investors have been saying, well, the stock market looks so overvalued, I should out, but I'm not because a year from now, it looks even more overvalued. And I'm still not leaving.
Yeah, good point, Jeff. These markets continue to, I guess, trend higher, and everyone feels like, well, they don't want the FOMO if these markets do continue higher. Jeff, I'm going to have you back on next segment. We are going to continue to focus on really big picture for precious metals and even get into a little bit more of some of the base metal moves as well. So everyone, stick around. Jeff and I are going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
We've got a chart that we're using in the presentation later today, Friday the 11th, which is the U.S. stock market, and it shows this very narrow channel of price increases from 2010 into about 2018 or so. You know, it's gotten more volatile since then because it's so high. But the reality is that the decapitalization that has been driving that stock market higher continues, and no one's going to leave that party until it's quite clear that the party is over.
I agree with that, Jeff, but following up on the comments, and if everyone thinks that the stock market is overvalued but no one's leaving the party until it sounds like bigger correction happens, does that mean we're set up for not just a level-headed correction, a fast, sharp correction, which, when we see that, typically does hit a wide range of assets?
Yes, that's true. And it's not, you know, let's be honest here. Yeah, it's not a black and white issue. It's shades of gray. And, you know, you could say, I'm not leaving the party, and take 1% or 2% of your profits and move them into gold. And that's, I think, what we're seeing among institutional investors and high net worth individuals and family offices. They're not leaving the party. They're not buying 100% coverage with S&P puts, but they are taking steps, including buying gold and silver, with some of their profits to protect some of their losses.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am chatting again with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Big picture here, Jeff, when we take into account the bounce that we've seen in gold, gold staying around 1900, the decrease in yields, and the at least short-term little bounce that we've seen in the U.S. dollar. It's not a huge bounce, but there is a little bit of strength in the dollar, and if you go back on a weekly chart, the dollar did just put in a slightly higher low than the one at the very beginning of 2021. Is this all just talking to a more defensive trade, a more defensive mindset that investors, large investors, have?
I think, I'm not sure if it's defensive or offensive. I'm never quite sure about that, but it's definitely more diversified. But the reality is, you know, okay, you know, interest rates. Everybody was panicking about rising interest rates, lower bond prices in the first quarter. Now that's reversed, and people want to buy bonds, U.S. Treasuries, because it's rising. You need U.S. dollars to buy those bonds. Everybody was kind of panicking about the stock market in the first quarter. Now everybody says, okay, this party's continuing. You need U.S. dollars to buy U.S. stocks. So there is a demand for the dollar because people want to do that. And so that's supporting the dollar, and it's and it's a reflection of investors saying, I'm worried about yields. I'm worried about the stock market's valuation. I'm not necessarily going to take all my money out and put it into gold right now, but I am going to take steps to start to protect my portfolio from what could be a relatively violent and sudden correction in the stock market that could actually coincide with a reversal in the recent decline in Treasury yields.
Well, Jeff, it sounds like we are still then all just waiting for another correction in the stock market, as the U.S. markets have, in all fairness, gotten fairly boring, but it's boring to the upside, right? So that continued strength there. Let's look ahead to next week, because next week is another Fed meeting. All eyes are always on the Fed, and everyone's just waiting for some announcement of a pullback in the easy monetary policy with the recent higher inflation and also the general restart that's going on in the U.S. Do you think the Fed finally starts to say or starts to tell us that they're going to be tapering some of their policies?
I don't think they'll say that per se next week. They already have said that they are ending one of the programs that they started in 2020. During the pandemic, but that's not the larger monetary support program that they're doing. I think that they'll probably pretty much reiterate what they've been saying. They may have a little bit more of a skew toward, hey, the economy is stronger. We're now seeing some of the inflation that we had looked for before we started saying that we're going to taper. But, I don't know that they're going to make a major indication of imminent change in their policy, because they do believe that this inflation is transitory. They do believe that there are still tremendous fiscal issues that need to be resolved before they can take off their life support equipment. So I don't know that. I think they'll be very cautious about signaling any imminent tightening.
So that transitory word, when it comes to inflation, I know the Fed's sticking to it. A number of commentators are saying it still could be transitory. There's also a lot of commentators saying, wake up, people, it's not transitory. This inflation is here to stay. When are we going to know for sure, Jeff? What constitutes transitory and not transitory? Because in all fairness, it's now 2 months that we are starting to see higher inflation.
Oh yeah, 2 months is transitory in my book. I think that you have to get into, they say, the second quarter of 2022. If you still have high inflation, and again, first off, if you still have high inflation in the core and in the headline figures in the second quarter of 2022, then you've got an indication that this is not transitory and it doesn't simply reflect coming out of lockdown and the recovery of the economy. But the other thing is, as I was alluding to earlier, you have to look at the components. That will give you a better indication as to whether or not this is a transitory or a more permanent move toward higher inflation. And, I just look at the world. I look at the excess labor, the excess, it's funny because we have this incredible situation here where we have record numbers of unemployed people in the United States and record numbers of unfilled jobs. And it's great because the guys who have been inflation bulls for 40 years and have been wrong, keep saying, this is it. I told you back in the 1980s and 1990s that inflation would come back. Here it is, and so they can say, well, look at all these, unfilled jobs. This is going to have to be inflationary. But the other people say, yeah, but look at the systemic unemployment, not only in the United States, but on a global basis, which we had before the pandemic, and the pandemic has just worsened, and we knew it was going to get worse going forward because we're moving to computerized manufacturing, computerized service provision, computerized agricultural harvesting, and that's just going to exacerbate the surplus labor, Then you have surplus manufacturing capacity and surplus real estate, commercial real estate, and surplus retail capacity. You have Main Street being decimated by the Walmarts and Amazons of the world. And that's not just jobs. That's also tax bases for local economies and other things. So there are a lot of deflationary and disinflationary pressures that people will be watching. And I think you have to pay attention. And, you know, but when people say transitory, it's not 2 months that we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, 2, 3, 4 quarters. If we're into the second quarter of next year and we still have, you know, 4%, 3% inflation, then it's not transitory.
Okay, final comments then here. Jeff deals with the majors, whether you're looking at major gold miners, even major base metal miners. Miners in general are making a lot of money, building stronger balance sheets. What do you think that means for the broad sector of metal stocks?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Canadian companies, and it's not just mining companies. I mean, I you know, we're seeing some of these companies say, we've got so much money, we're going to, like, dividend a bunch out to investors. And you're seeing the same thing with banks. You know, there's a great article in the Financial Post, I guess, today about the tremendous, like, $80 billion of excess capital at banks in Canada. And these guys are saying, well, we just can't think of how to deploy this, so we're going to dividend a lot of it out. That's decapitalization. That's like, you know, I'm sorry, we're hiring you. We, the shareholders, are hiring you to utilize this capital to make money going forward. And to some extent, some of these guys are saying, well, we just can't do that. We can't grow this company. You know, I do think that you'll see more mergers and more acquisitions of the majors because they're cash rich. But it's, you know, those are going to be pricey mergers because they're based off of higher gold prices and silver prices and copper prices right now. So I do think you'll see more M&A and more acquisitions of mid-tier and smaller companies by majors. And you'll probably see higher dividends going forward and maybe more buybacks of shares.
All right, Jeff, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time on this weekend show. Comprehensive update there, mostly on precious metals, a little bit more on the base metals. But overall, look, commodities are still strong and seem to be maybe in a bit of the summer doldrums right now. But again, there's a lot of news coming out, especially out of the stocks, and a lot of good news, too. So I think it is a good time to really be paying attention to some of that news. Jeff, I always appreciate your comments. I'll have you back on the show again soon. Everybody, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.